Today's shir is Masechta of Sanhedrin Daf Yud Dal. We're going to begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Amalei, we continue learning the sugyas of smicha. Amalei Rav Acha Barei, the Revel Rav Ashi. When smicha is done, is it done with the one giving smicha actually putting his hands on the one receiving the smicha? That's the Gemara's question. And as the Yaakov frames the Gemara's question, since we learned at the end of yesterday's shir that we learned the concept of smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know when Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, he put his hands on Yehoshua. So the Gemara's question is, does that now become the model for all smichas? Or was it specifically in that smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yeshua where it was done with his hands on his head? Normally it's not required. Amalei, so he responded, Samchanle b'shma. We don't actually have to do smicha putting the hands on the head. B'shma karile Rebbe. He gets the title Rabbi. V'yavle reshusa, and he's given authorization. L'meid in dine knosses. He's given permission to paskin shilas of dine knosses. And as the Rishonim explained, why don't we take a learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? So one explanation that I saw is because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just give Yeshua smicha in the sense that he was going to be allowed to pass Kinshailus, be a Rav. It was also in the sense of Ruach HaKodesh. So it's a unique type of smicha that we can't learn from that smicha to other situations. Another pshat is, and it's going to become more understood as we learn the shir today, Chazal didn't want to have a situation where we should only be able to give smicha to people that are right next to each other. We want to be able to give smicha without the person getting smicha right there, perhaps. And if we're going to have to put the hand on the head, obviously smicha could only be given when the person receiving the smicha is standing right there. So the Gemara says, how is smicha be given? By being able to call him Rebbe. It's interesting. You look in the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes this halacha, and the Rambam says, Kesura smicha, how is smicha given? The Rambam goes through the entire procedure. And the Rambam says, V'karan lo'i Rebbe, shehu samach. They call him Rebbe because he had smicha. What's the Rambam trying to say? So I saw from Rav Moshe, Nigris Moshe explains as follows. The Rambam recognized that there's going to be a time, we could relate perhaps to that, that everybody's going to be called a rabbi. So being called Rebbe doesn't mean dafka that you have smicha. So the Gemara says it's not. So the Rambam says if there's going to be a time where everybody's called Rebbe, so how do we differentiate between the person who really has smicha versus somebody who just got the title? So it says the people who really have smicha, shu samach, will be identified as they having smicha. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim ask the question that we find in the Gemara and the Rishonim, that people were called Rebbe who didn't have smicha. But according to this Gemara, only somebody who has smicha is allowed to be called Rebbe. So I saw some of Farshim want to suggest that somebody who had smicha was called Rebbe without even his name. It's called Rebbe, not with his first name, not with his last name. Other people who were called Rebbe, but they had the first name or last name attached to it, that's not the Rebbe the Gemara means. And Rashi says, in explaining the words, that the halach is that only somebody who has smicha could be a dayan in a din Torah of knas. However, says Rashi really gives two reasons why people who don't have smicha could pass in din Torah the din mamonis. One is there's a concept of klesh loitinal delis b'fnei lovin. If only people who could get involved in that type of din Torah are people who have smicha, nobody will ever want to be involved in such a din Torah. Nobody ever will want to lend money. Another reason Rashi says is shluchusayu ku avdin. And the way the Mefarshim explains is as follows. Because of shloi din al das b'fnei lovin, we create, the Chazal said that we don't have to have smicha to pass in a din Torah of a halva. But then there are other monetary issues, gzeilus, chavolus, somebody stole, somebody damaged someone else. So there we don't have a concept of kadesh shloi din al das b'fnei lovin, but we still want Rabbanim outside of Etzrael who don't have smicha, particularly, to be able to pass in those shailas. So Shluchus Haikav, and they got special authorization. For what don't they have authorization? They don't have authorization for Knossos. Knossos means where it's not just damages are being awarded. It's a more than damages. Kefil, above a Chamisha. In those cases, only people with Smicha have a right to pass on that type of an entire. Ask the Gemara, is this true? The Chad Loi Samach, then one individual himself may not give Smicha. V'amrabi Yudam Rav, Bram Zocha Ish Vatoi. You have to remember a great individual. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Shmoy, whose name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Shemalehu, if not for he, nishtachu, dine knossos from Yisrael. All the concept of knossos would have been forgotten. Ask the Gemara, nishtachu, if they would have been forgotten, nigrasinu, so sit down and learn and you won't forget. Says the Gemara, batlo dine knossos Yisrael. They would have been fallen away. Why? Shepam machas gazer machas rish gzera a Yisrael. The government made a decree, the Roman government made a decree, shekala soymech yorek, whoever gives smicha should be killed, kala nismach yorek, and anybody who receives smicha should be killed. And the Ben Yoyod explains, why did they make a decree particularly against smicha? So he explains very nicely. He says as follows. Unfortunately, Klal Yisrael in its history have been subject to many decrees about our religious observance. But then the decree passes. But as we've been learning, one of the fundamentals of smicha is that only somebody who has smicha can give smicha. So if they'll be successful in eradicating an entire generation with nobody having smicha, this will be a decree that will last forever. And that was why they went particularly after this decree. They said, V'yish ha-samchem by techarev, a city in which smicha is given should be destroyed. And as the Mepharshim say, they went this far to make this decree this way because they knew one of two concerns. They knew that the people giving, getting smicha may not care. But once it's the entire city at stake, they'll think differently because it's not only themselves they're putting in danger, they're putting the entire city in danger. Furthermore, they recognized that the entire city will not let them go through the smicha process because it puts them all into danger. Furthermore, they said, v'tchumim, not only the city, but even the tchum of the city should be destroyed. Anybody in the tchum of the city should be killed if their smicha is given there. Why? So Mashal says a very interesting pshat. Mashal says smicha was typically given on Shabbos. Why was smicha typically given on Shabbos? Because you want to give smicha publicly. You want to give smicha in a public forum. And where did everybody have the opportunity and time to get together? On Shabbos. But if they're gonna, so they were concerned, alright, the city you can't give smich in the city. They're afraid the people will go outside of the city. So they said that the city and the tchum will all be destroyed if wherever smich is given. And past the tchum, they're not worried because nobody's going outside of the tchum on Shabbos. Ma'asu Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba do? Hala for Yoshua ben Shnei Harim Gedolim. He settled down between two large mountains, ben shtei yoreis gedolos, between two big cities, or ben shnei tchum Shabbos. They were all between two tchum Shabbos. He didn't want to put anybody in danger. Where was this area? Ben ushra l'shafram. The samach sham chamish zekerim. And he gave smicha there to five individuals. Who were they? Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Shaman. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi says it was also Rabbi Nechemya. Once the enemy saw what happened here, Amalahem, so he told them, Bani, Rutsu. He told his Talmidim, run away. Amalai, Rebbe, Matahe Olecha, what will be with you? Amalahem, so he sent it, Hareni Mutal Fneim, I am like an Evin She'en Lo Yifchevchim, like a stone that nobody turns over. Amalai, Zoz Masham, they didn't get away, Achinasuba Sholosh Meis Lunvi Shabazel, until they were pierced by 300 spears. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was pierced with 300 spears. Vasuk Kavra, he looked like a sieve. Mepharshim discuss a number of points. One issue that they discuss is that Al Gemara says that it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba that did a great thing. The Talmidim also did a great thing. So why is the Gemara only giving Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba credit? So one tarot I saw is because Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was an old man. and he couldn't run away. The Talmidim were young, they knew they could run away, so that's why it wasn't such a great sacrifice on their part. Another pshat is that the Talmidim, if they would have been caught by the government officials, each one could have said, I'm not the one getting the simich, it's my friend, it's my colleague. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu had no one to point to. So Mara says that he stayed there. Why did he stay there? So the posh pshat is that he stayed there, that the government officials should be busy with him, and while they're busy with him, the Talmidim could run away. Another pshat that I saw is posh pshat, that they were able to run, they were young, he was old, he couldn't run, as I said a moment ago. Another pshat that I saw is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu said, when I am being tortured, I'm like an oven, like a stone. Just like a stone doesn't feel, I don't feel anything, it's not a problem. But here an interesting question comes up. Machlokes Rishonim. Agamar says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu then tried to escape. He allowed himself to be killed. We know the halacha is that there are only, we're going to discuss these sugyas later in Amasachta actually, that the three averis that the halacha is Yehorg Val Yava, Gilarayish, Shvichas Tamim, and Avodah Zarah. And even though the Gemara, as we will learn, says that for any mitzvah lo yaseh, the halacha is one is supposed to be ready to give up his life if the goyim are trying to uproot that avera because of religious purposes. The question is, what about a mitzvah saseh? So the Kesef Mishnah says that our Gemara is a raya that even for mitzvah saseh, a person is allowed to be maisa nefesh. Because here we see Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu as being maisa nefesh for smicha, certainly not more than a mitzvah saseh. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says that for mitzvah saseh, one is not allowed to be maisa nefesh. But the question is, what is the Ran going to do with Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that a great person, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu was, and as we'll see in the Gemara, is allowed to be maisa nefesh for any situation. That's one teretz. Another teretz is, when it comes to Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, which what Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu was trying to accomplish, you're allowed to be maisa nefesh. In fact, I saw a shaila that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses, where during the war in Israel, there was somebody who gives a shiur in a location that was being bombed, or he gives a location to soldiers. And the question was, is he allowed to go give his shiur, even though it's a dangerous area? A person's not allowed to go to a place that's dangerous. And that was the question that he asked. So certainly nobody can tell me he has to go. The question is, if he wants to go, is he allowed to go? And he says, based on this Gemara, that we just learned, when it comes to Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, you're allowed to be Maisa Nefesh. If the person wants to go, he's allowed to go. Continues the Gemara. So now we're back to where we started. We learned in the previous year that you have to have a minimum of three people to give smicha. And here it says Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu gave smicha on himself, by himself. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu achrina have a bad day. Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu really had other people with him giving the smicha. So why aren't they mentioned? Because of his honor, they weren't of his madrega, so it's a raya, that's why they weren't mentioned. Actually, the Mefarshim say that this Gemara is a raya to the psak of the Rambam that I quoted at the end of the previous year, where I quoted that the Rambam says that of the Bezdin giving smicha, only one of them has to be a samach. The other two just have to be rabbanim. And that's what happened here. Yehuda ben Babu was the only one that had smicha, the other two didn't, and that's why their names aren't mentioned. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, Yehuda ben Babu samche? Did Rabbi Meir get smicha from Yehuda ben Babu? V'amar Rabba b'chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol aymer Rabbi Meir loy samchei Rabbi Kiva. Whoever says Rabbi Meir did not receive smicha from Rabbi Kiva, ena elatoy is mistaken. Answers the Gemara, samche Rabbi Kiva loy kibla. Rabbi Kiva gave Rabbi Meir smicha, but he refused to accept it. Samcha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu, but then when Rabbi Yehuda ben Babu gave him smicha, the kibloi, he was ready to accept it. Why didn't he want to take smicha from Rabbi Kiva? Because he was too young. And he felt that before he's too young, maybe I'm married, he didn't want to take smicha. Am Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, says the Gemara, ain't smicha b'chutz l'aretz. Smicha is only in chutz l'aretz. Ask the Gemara, what does he mean? My ain't smicha. The dine knosses are not adjudicated at all in chutz l'aretz. Ask the Gemara, is that true? But tonight we're going to learn a mishnah, Masechta Makis, that Sanhedrin's noheges bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz l'aretz. So why are we saying that's only in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, smicha can't be given in Chutz Laretz. Ask the Gemara, ask the Rishonim, no, it's not really Achronim, how can we say that smicha is not given only in Eretz Yisrael? The first place that we find smicha is Moshe Rabbeinu giving smicha to Yeshua. That wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. So one Tarot I saw is that given that Eretz Yisrael wasn't yet chosen, wasn't yet established, the halacha that only smicha could be given Eretz Yisrael is after we entered Eretz Yisrael. But before we entered Eretz Yisrael, that didn't apply. That's the Mabitz Teretz. The Aruch HaShulchan answers that, as I said at the beginning of this year, given that the smicha from Moshe to Yeshua was a very unique smicha, we can't use that smicha as the model for all halachas. Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious. Samchim b'chutz laretz from the smachim ba'aretz. If the person who's giving the smicha is in chutz laretz, and the person receiving smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, harmin and deloy. Clearly, that won't be acceptable. Because the person giving smicha must be in Eretz Yisrael. But the question that comes up is, Samchim ba'aretz from the smachim b'chutz laretz. If the person giving smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, and the person receiving chutz laretz is in chutz laretz, what's the din? As Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara's question. Rashi understands the Gemara's question. Is the halacha that the person giving the smicha and person receiving the smicha need to be near each other or not? That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The Yad Ramah says it's obvious that they don't have to be next to each other. The only question is that even though they don't have to be next to each other, do they at least have to be in the same country? Or if the Soymich is in Eretz Yisrael and the Nismach is in Chutz Laretz, it's also fine. My, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Mitztar Alei Rav Shimon Ba'Abba. Rav Yochanan was very upset that Rav Shimon Ba'Abba, the Lehav Gabay de Lismachay, was not near him that he could give him smicha. The Lismachay Rav Shimon Ba'Zeir V'Chadi Imei, Omanu Rav Yosef Menachmoy. Vamalai Rav Yosef Menachmoy V'Chadi Imei, Rav Shimon Ba'Zeir. Chad Lehav Gabayu, the one that was next nearby, Samchu, received smicha, but had the loy of Gabayu, the one that wasn't there, loy Samchu. So from here we see, at least according to Rashi's pshat, that the Soymach and the Nismach have to be together. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina Rav Oishia have a kumishtakid Rav Yochanan and Mismachinu. Rav Yochanan was very anxious to give them smicha. However, loy Mistai Milsa, he was never successful. Have a kumitzdar tuva, and he was very upset. Amalei, but it's tamar. You shouldn't be upset about this. Why? Danan with base Eli Kusinim. We are descendants of base Eli. Damer of Shmuel ben Yidach ben Amr of Yonason. Menayin shen smachin base Eli. How do we know that smicha should not be given to somebody from the base Eli? Shenema lo yir zokin beischa kol yomim. My zokin. That was one of the curses that was given to the family of Eli. Now ask the Gemara, what does the pasuk mean with the word zokin? That everybody in your family will die young. So obviously, there's not going to be a zakin. It must be, what he meant to say to them was, that nobody in their family should get smicha, and therefore Rav Chanina and Rav Oishia told Rav Yochanan, we are descendants of Eli, and therefore we can't be candidates for smicha. Asks Rashi the obvious question. We learned earlier, as I explained, that the halach, that we don't give smicha to a young person. And if everybody from Eli's family, Rachman Otzlon, dies young, so obviously they're not candidates for smicha. They're not old enough to get smicha. So Rashi answers that the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that the Pasuk says regarding Beis Eli, Bezevach u'mincha. And the Gemara says, Bezevach u'mincha miskaper. Their bringing kabbonis will not help them. Al b'toyru b'gmilas chsodim. They learn Torah. If they do chesed, miskaper, that's how they'll have a kapara. So it is possible, therefore, says Rashi, for people of the family of Eli to have long life. And now the Pasuk is saying that even though they have long life, smicha they're not candidates for. It's interesting to note that on one hand, the Rambam quotes our Gemara that says that smicha is only by 18 years old and older. But on the other hand, there's a Gemara, the Gemara speaks about a Talmud shehigi alai ra. At what point is somebody fit to be a rabbi? At what point is somebody old enough to pass in shilas? The Gemara says he has to be 40 years old. So here we say 18, here we see 40. And that Gemara the Rambam doesn't quote. So how do we understand? So the Kesef Mishnah says as follows. The halacha that the Gemara Masechta Saita says, the one has to be 40 years old, is not said, says the Kesef Mishnah, to someone, is not said, says the Kesef Mishnah, to someone in our days. Because nowadays we have Sfarim. So it's much easier to pass in a Shaila. You have all the Sfarim, you even have the internet available to you. And therefore, a shul could choose a rabbi who's not 40 years old. However, smicha has special rules. And one of the special rules of smicha is that you have to be 18 years old. Says the Gemara. Rav Zeira have a mitmeh mismechei. Rav Zeira wanted to avoid getting smicha. Don Rabbi Lazar, lo'olam have a kabel v'kayim. A person should lay low. A person should not be in a lofty position. Kivin da Hashem l'hodam Rabbi Lazar. Ein adam oil l'gdula. A person doesn't come to a position of power. Elm ke moichan lo'y kol avanaisov. Amtzilei nafshe, he made himself available. So Rashi says, havei kabel v'kayom, lay low without the trapping of Rabbonis, harchik min Rabbonis. That's what Rashi says. And the Farshim point out, it's interesting. Here Rashi says, it's a Mishnah Perkei Avot, usneis harabonis. On the other hand, we know that the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin, eini melamedes b'nei ela Torah, that Torah is the best business. So how do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So Farshim explained, nobody's suggesting you shouldn't learn. Rabbonis, the trappings, the trying to be an important person, that's what one should avoid. Another pshat of Kabel v'kayom is that if you stay out of the public eye, you're less likely to be the subject of an ayin hara. Have a Kabel v'kayom, avoid an ayin hara. So the Gemara says, but then he accepted it because kol oil gedula meichel ayav v'naisav. So I saw a beautiful pshat. The pasuk says, regarding the appointment of a king of on Klal Yisrael. The pasuk uses the word v'hoya kishiftoi, kishiftoi, akisei mamlachtoi, v'kasvoi sefer mishnah Torah azayis. The question, why does it say kishiftoi? It should say v'hoya bishiftoi. The first one said beautiful pshat. V'hoya, a king, when he's appointed to being a king, as our Gemara teaches us, at that point, machan loy kol avanaisav, all of his sins are forgiven. So says the pasuk kishiftoi, he should remain that way the rest of his life, like he was at that moment. There's an interesting vart from Naim Elimelech. Naim Elimelech says, we know that the brothers of Yosef hated him because he kept on telling his dream how he will be an important person. Yosef oitzoi snoi oitzoi al-chaloi moisov. So, Pashim Shat, there's a question how the brothers acted this way to their brother. He says that actually, the brothers were encouraging him to go to reach a madrega where he'll be appointed to an important position. Why? Because they knew if they'll be appointed to an important position, and they wanted him to be able to reach that madrega. He says an interesting vart. He says the word chaloim is ches lamed mem, and the word mochel is mem ches lamed, the exact same letters. Yosef's chaloim. What was the purpose of Yosef's dream? Machel. That he should come to a position of power and then he'll have Mechilas Avonos. Says the Gemara. Kisamchol Reb Zeira. When Smicha was given to Reb Zeira, Shar Lehochi. This is what was said. Lotchav Lehsak Lepirchis V'yalascheid. It's like what's said about a Kala. That she doesn't need makeup. She doesn't need cosmetics. And she's still beautiful. Continues the Gemara. Kisamchol Reb Ami Rav Asi, Charlie Hachi, this is what said. Come in Dane, Smichulanu. Only people such as these people should receive Smicha. Don't give Smicha. Have a Lotismichulanu, Loi Smartutin. People who are like rags. People who don't have the ability to say Chiddush in Torah. Loi Misar Sisin. Misar Sisin are people who aren't consistent. They're not able to say pshat, Rashi says he doesn't know what to say tumisin means. Others I saw, tumisin is a bitter bean. The people who get smicha should be pleasant. Says the Gemara, Ravu kav avim mesifta lebe keser. Ravu, when he would leave the mesifta to go to be keser, nafka maturinesa lebe keser, the women who worked by the keser would come in sharilei and sing in greeting to him. Rabba da ame, the leader of his people, madama da umsei, the spokesperson for his people, but Sina the Nara, with a radiant face, Baruch Messiah L'Shalom. So we learned in the Mishnah that a Rufus Agola, we know the Torah speaks about the parish of Ever Agla Rufa, that if a corpse is found, Loinoida Miyuko, we don't know who murdered him, so we have to measure which is the closest city. It goes through the Agla Rufa process, and then we go through, so the says the Mishnah, we had a machloikis, how many dayorim are required for the Agla Rufa procedure? And who should they be? Tana Abonim, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'yotzu zeknecha v'shaftecha, zeknecha's two, shaftecha's two, ve'im bezden shokol, v'sifra leim ayin echad. Harekan chamisha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's how we know we have to have five dayonim for this procedure. Again, as I mentioned in the previous year, the question comes up. We can understand why bezden needs to have an odd number of members. But here we're not talking about a Beis Din. So why do we need an odd number? So some say, as I said in the previous year, that once we learn, once Chazal teach us that a Beis Din has to have an odd number, that halacha is always applicable, even if it's not as specific than Torah. Others say, however, here there could be questions that come up. Question comes up, we have to measure from the corpse, from which part of the corpse. Or we have to measure over valleys and mountains, and exactly how to do the measuring, that you need a Beis Din. Rav Shimon Omer, Zeknecha Ishnayim, and therefore, according to Rav Shimon, Ein Beis Din Shoyachol, Ein Mesifin Lein Oirechad, Arein Kan Shloisha. And only three Dayonim are required for Arifas Eglo. Ask the Gemara of Shimon, Hai Shaftecha, my Avadlei. What does it do with the word Shaftecha? Answers the Gemara, Hume Baylei, Mi'chadun Shib Shaftecha. They have to be Dayonim from the Sanhedrin. Rav Yehuda, who uses the word Shaftecha to teach us the amount of Dayonim needed, where will he know this halacha that Dayonim have to be from Sanhedrin? Ziknei, Ziknecha. The Torah could use the word Ziknei, but the Torah used the word Ziknecha to teach us that they have to be from the Sanhedrin. Why does Rav Shimon agree with that? Answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon, if the Torah would only use the word Ziknei, have him in a Ziknei Shok, people from the street, even people from just a 23 member Sanhedrin. That's why from members of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that you have to have members from the Sanhedrin? He doesn't. You have the word Shaftecha available because he needs the word Shaftecha to teach us towards the number of Dayanim required. Answers the Gemara. From the halacha that we learned yesterday, that when the zakenim do smicha on the carbon, on the parham davashat sibur, we know it had to be zakenim as we learned yesterday from the Sanhedrin. So now learns of Yehuda, malahalan, just in that situation, it had to be from yuchadim shebe eda, afkam yuchadim shebe zakenecha. Ask the Gemara, iyalef, if we're learning from there, leil of kulam ahasim. So if Rabbi Yehuda is using Gzeres Shava, so we should learn everything from there. And just like there, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need five Dayanim from the Sanhedrin. Here too, you should need five Dayanim from the Sanhedrin. Why do I need all these words? Zekenecha v'shaftecha lamali. So that can't be the reason, says Rabbi Yehuda. What must be the reason? Vav v'shaftecha l'minyana. The extra vav of the word shaftecha, he uses that to teach us that you need two more Dayanim. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, Vav Loi Darish. He doesn't say that comes to teach us anything. Ask the Gemara, but if we're going to, no matter what pshat, no matter what opinion we're going to follow, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, why don't we continue learning the Pasuk? Elamata, the Pasuk says V'yatsu. So we say the word Yatsu teaches us that you need two more Dayanim. Or Madadu teaches us you need two more Dayanim. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda asked the Gemara, we should need a total of Tisha, nine Dayanim. And Rabbi Shimon, we should need a total of Shiva Dayanim. Answers the Gemara, that the Dayanim have to go out, not their shlichim. says the Mechas Chinuch, that even though the Dayanim have to do it themselves, it means that they have to go. They don't have to do the actual measuring. If they supervise people doing the measuring, that's fine. But then I saw another interesting question. How can we have a havamina that somebody else could do their work? We know there's a halacha of a mitzvah shebegufa, a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do. I can't ask you to do for me. I can't ask you to put on tefillin for me. I can't ask you to sit in a sukkah for me. So how could we think that the zakenim could appoint shlichim to do this on their behalf? So Tosfos Rid says a beautiful pshat. It's a fundamental pshat. Tosfos Rid says as follows. He says, sometimes the mitzvah has to get done. I have to put on tefillin. I have to sit in the sukkah. You can't put on tefillin for me. You can't sit in the sukkah for me. But sometimes there's something that has to be accomplished. In a case that something has to get accomplished, I don't have to do it myself. Here we have to measure which is the closest city. So maybe I don't have to do it. Maybe somebody else could do it. Or maradu, the next halach is maradu. Shafil nimtzu balil. Even if it's obvious which is the closest city to the corpse, tzorach lasik medida. Why? Because we want there should be a lot of publicity around this, and perhaps that's how we'll be able to catch the murderer. Says the Gemara, Masnissin d'loy kaitana. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, V'yotzu zekenecha v'sheftecha, zekenecha zu Sanhedrin, v'sheftecha zu melech v'kohen gadol. V'sheftecha means the melech and the kohen gadol also have to participate. Melech, the ksiv, melech b'mishpat, yamer oretz, kohen gadol, the ksiv, v'osal kohen alvim el noy shayfet. So the first mask, we've used the pasuk for Sheftecha to teach us differently mudim. It can either come to teach us that you need the Sanhedrin, or now it's come to teach us that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Melech v'Kohen Gadol. So why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hold? Is it the Melech v'Kohen Gadol, or is it the Sanhedrin? So the Rishonim say he holds you need both. How could you learn both from the same pasuk? So they say a very important rule. Wherever you have two limudim from one pasuk, and the pasuk doesn't point in one direction more than the other direction. V'shaftecha can mean Sanhedrin, v'shaftecha can mean Melech v'Kohen Gadol. So I don't know which one to choose. So I say it's both. And that's why according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it means both the Sanhedrin and the Melech v'Kohen Gadol. Ask the Gemara. Ibarilu. Now I'm trying to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'chod apalik, is he only arguing regarding that he requires the Melech v'Kohen Gadol? Avil b'Sanhedrin, as far as how many, or b'tati polik. And the Gemara explains itself. The Melech and Kohen Gadol, certainly polik. The Rabbi Yehuda of Shimon did not require that the Melech and the Kohen Gadol participate. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that he must participate. Avil b'Sanhedrin, as far as how many members of the Sanhedrin have to be there, there he'll either hold Ikrav Yehuda, Ikrav Shimon, 5 or 3. Or Dilma b'Sanhedrin, nami polik. He also will disagree about how many members of the Sanhedrin have to participate. Because his opinion will be, Dama Kula Sanhedrin Binan, that you have to have not just 3 or 5 members, but the entire Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Yosef. So that's the question. How many members of the Sanhedrin does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov require? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Toshima. Motzen Abeis Pagi, we know that there's a parasha of a Zakeh Mamre. The parasha of Zakeh Mamre teaches us that if the Sanhedrin paskin in a certain way, and a zoker, a member of the Sanhedrin, went and said, and taught people the opposite, that's called the zoker mamre, was put to death. So the pasuk, the brisa, in discussing the halacha of a zoker mamre, says, matzan a beis pagai, if he found the Sanhedrin at a beis pagai, I'm not going to show him exactly where the beis pagai was. Was it in the Harabayas, or was it in the Azorah, was it just in Yerushalayim, in the old city of Yerushalayim, v'himra aleihem? And now the question is, if he did his act over there, yochot hayam ros amra, we would think that it should be considered that he's a zokah mamre, tamaloymer v'kamta v'alisa l'mokim, melamed shamokim gairim. The place, he has to do his act in the lishkas hagozes where the Sanhedrin sits. Ask the Gemara. What is exactly the situation where we ostensibly have the Sanhedrin sitting in Beis Pagai and he's rebelling, and that the Bryce is teaching us that since it wasn't the Lishkas Agazis, and as the Aruch HaShulchan explains, Aruch HaShulchan also, that if it's in the trapping, if it's in the environment of this Lishkas Agazis, he might not have done the Aveira. So strictly, if he does the Aveira in such a place, how do we know it's an Aveira? Says the Gemara. Then what is the situation where it was a base Pagai that was saying that's not considered, that he's a Zokim Mamre? Who went out? The Nofakama. How many people left the Lishkas Agazis? Elam Mektsasin. Maybe only some of the people left the Lishkas Agazis. Ask the Gemara, Duma Hanach Dika Gavoy, Kamikavasei. Maybe the people that were in the Lishkas Agazis would have paskened like him. So certainly he should be considered a Zaka Mamre. El Pshita, the Nafakula. It must be a situation that the entire Sanhedrin left the Lishkas Agazis. Lamai. Why did they leave? Ilema Ladvarishus. If it means that they just went out for whatever reason, not a mitzvah purpose, ask them our Mimatsanafki. Can we ever leave in the Lishkas Hagazis less than the quorum? V'ksiv, the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Shrarech Agan Hasar Ayes Sar Mazik, which comes to teach us, and I'll explain how, that you always have to have a quorum of at least 23 in the Lishkas Hagazis. How do we know that? So I saw two pshatim, the Rishonim. One pshat is, Mezeg means dilution of wine. The normal formula when they diluted wine was two parts water and one part wine. So it has to be just like that. You have to have one part wine, a third. A third of 71, the closest is 23. So you always have to have 23 members remaining in the Lishkas Hagazis. So how could you have a situation that you don't have that you have the entire Sanhedrin, the base Pagai? You have to have 23 remaining at home. And as Mefarshim explained, because unless you have a situation where the entire Sanhedrin was there, where there was a quorum there, and that's when he paskin, and he went against, that's when he's Zaka Mamre. Because otherwise he could always argue that the people who weren't there would have agreed with him. Another pshat, how we know you have to have 23 members always left of the Lishkas Hagazis, because the gematria of the word mezeg is 50. 71 minus 50. So you can't have 50 missing. You could ever only have 49 missing. So now Taisus asks a very interesting question. Maybe, you know why they're Bebeis Pagi? They don't sit in the Sanhedrin all day. They all left the Sanhedrin together, and they happen to be Bebeis Pagi. So the answer is Taisus a very bechidish. That when the members of the Sanhedrin left, they left one at a time. And therefore you never had a situation that the entire Sanhedrin was traveling together. El Pshita. So again, we're trying to identify a situation that everybody should be, the entire Sanhedrin should be Bebeis Pagi. What is the situation? Dvar Mitzvah. There must be there for Dvar Mitzvah. What is the Dvar Mitzvah? Hechidami. Lav, L'midas Agola. Isn't it proof that the entire Sanhedrin needs to participate in the Midas Agola? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who, Dami Kula Sanhedrin Binin. And here we'll see that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds, you need the whole Sanhedrin for Midas Agola. I'm Rabbi Eloi. That is an Araya. It's talking about a situation. They wanted to expand Yerushalayim, the Azores, Kretnan, as the Mishnah says. Our Mishnah beginning of Masechta. Says the Gemara. Tanya Kavasad Rabbi Yosef. Motzer Beis Pagei. V'imr Aleim. And here the Brisa says explicitly. Kigon Shiyotzal Medid Sagola. Ola Hosef. Aliyev Azores. So it says clearly here that it's the Mokim that's Goyim, but we see that where are they, how could they be in Beis Pagai? Because they went from Medidas Agola. So it's a Raya that the entire Sanhedrin participates in the Medidas Agola. It's a beautiful verse from the Shem Shmuel. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, when they made Chanukah Yontif, the Gemara says, L'shona Acheres, Kavim Yontif. So the question is, why did I have to wait a year to make Hanukkah into Yontif? Why didn't I make it a Yontif right away? The answer is, here it says, Melamed Shamochim Goyim. The place where the Sanhedrin sits, the Lishkas Hagazis where they sit, is an important part in doing the right Pesach. That time, by the Hanukkah, they couldn't enter the Lishkas Hagazis. So they couldn't make it into Yontif, because they have to make in the Lishkas HaGozes. Lashana Acheres, where they can re-enter the Lishkas HaGozes, that's when Kavin Yontas. We went to the Mishnah, Net Revayim Meis Hashem Yishein Dom of Yiduim, how many Dayanim do you need B'Shloishim? And as I discussed when we learned the Mishnah, Nice Hashemi is clearly a situation Shein Dom of Yiduim. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. But Net Revayim, what is the case that you need three Dayanim for Net Revayim? Is it only in a situation of Ein Dom of Yiduim, or is it in all situations that Net Revayim needs three Dayanim? So I saw a number of answers. I saw that in many Rishonim say that by Neter Revai, you need three Dayanim always. Why? One reason is because Neter Revai is considered like Hegdish. And as we're going to learn, Hegdish needs three Dayanim. Another pshat that I saw is because a person wasn't able to eat the fruits of his tree for all these years, and now finally he's able to eat it. So afraid that he's not going to redeem it properly, so we say you need three Dayanim. Another pshat that I saw is because when we make the calculation of the Neter Revai, he's allowed to deduct his expenses. So you have to have an exact cheshbon. Another pshat, a very interesting pshat, that when we evaluate the value of the Neter Revai, we don't evaluate how much is it worth in the street. How much is it worth to you, the owner of the tree? To you it may be worth more because you worked on this tree all these years and now you get these fruits. And therefore, to make that specific evaluation, we need three dayanim. Tanabonim, what does the Brice mean? What does the Mishnah mean? By Messi Shenish Ein Dom Yiduim, says the Gemara, Perish Yekivu, fruit that got rotten, V'yayin Shehikrim, Moshe Chlidu. Although the Rishonim point out, it doesn't mean that it got rotten past being edible, totally, because then it has no value. Tanabonim, Messi Shenish Ein Dom Yiduim, Poydnei Sabishloish Shalakuchas, Avaloi, B'shloishish en l'kuchas. Rashi says l'kuchas means experts. Taisha says l'kuchas means the people who want to buy it. And we start a bidding, we start an auction between at least three people to see what its value. Continues the Gemara, I feel nach echmehen. Even if a guy is one of these three people, it's fine. I feel echmehen balim. Even if one of them is the owner, as long as we're just doing it for the purpose of evaluation, he could be one of the three people. By Rabbi Yemir, Shloisha u'matilna tayis kris echad. You have three people, but they're partners. Are they considered like three or not? Toshma, ish v'shtei nosh u'paydu ma'isa sheni she'en dam v'dum. So you see, a wife is supported by a husband. So certainly it's considered one group, and still fine. And it's more a raya. Because maybe it means, k'gon rapapa u'bas abasura. We learned the Gemara Masechta Ksubos. The Gemara Masechta Ksubos says that even though a husband is supposed to support his wife, a wife has the option to say, "Any oisiv ein zancha, I won't give you my salary, and you don't have to support me." And therefore, even a husband and a wife, in such a circumstance, can be considered separate individuals. That the halacha will be that they could, the halacha could be that they could join into being the group of three people to make this evaluation.